Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks I found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of these.
Borrow the pad. That's
your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Where's all my soul, sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where I guess we are getting up in our weird, we're getting weird in our weirdness early tonight with that song.
Thank you very much for playing along with that.
You're totally welcome. Thank you for reminding me. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my producer, who's bringing up the weirdness, Sir Rockin'.
Oh, if you think that was weird, just wait till a few minutes from now when we get into news. We got some weird tonight.
You scare me. On so many levels.
It scared me when I read it.
Oh, it looks like we have an interception by the Patriots. Oh. By the way, White Pants and Rain are just a fail. Just pointing
we get to see
out.
All their bizarreness.
Yeah, we can see everything that they got going on. But anyway, we are, of course, brought to you by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com, where they probably have some Patriots and Jets merchandise. I know they're having a big sale right now, so go check them out when you get a second. Because, well, we don't know if we're going to give you one, because we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Oh, we do. We have a bunch to get into. So many things are going on, and all that fun, happy stuff.
We've got news, we've got Impact No Surrender we've got to talk about, because a lot of things happened there, and of course we've got our Night of Champions pick'em, but before we get to all that, don't we have a question of the night?
Our question of the night goes as follows: what is your favorite Jim Ross moment? Now you ask why we're talking about Jim Ross? Well, that brings us to news now, doesn't it, Lindsay?
It does. We're going to jump right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends at PWMania.com. If you're listening to us over there, hi! Thanks for listening. And, well, we're going to go right to the top story of the week. This released yesterday, and a lot of news has come out about it in the last 24 hours. If you live under a rock and you didn't hear one Jim Ross, who is one of the greatest broadcasters of all time, retired, in quotations, from active service with the WWE after 20 years. And first of all, congratulations to him for the retirement. However, a lot of people are now citing that, well, maybe this retirement wasn't exactly 100% voluntary.
No, it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem that this retirement, as it were, is something he wanted, because as of 2 weeks ago, he had no plans to retire. And then this comes out yesterday, and it makes you scratch your head, going, why now? Why exactly now is Jim Ross retiring?
Well, according to one Dave Meltzer, he has been keeping up with the story, and he's been putting out updates. Basically, the situation is as follows, is that the retirement is stemming from the WWE 2K14 symposium that was held over SummerSlam weekend. WWE officials were not happy with the way that the symposium went down. More specifically, they were not happy with how Ric Flair behaved, nor were they happy with how JR handled the situation, and it seems that the retirement is their way of saving face from firing JR from the company after 20 years of service, and trying to avoid a backlash of epic proportions because of said firing.
Right, and this is where I'm going to get the shocking statement out of the way first before we really dive into it, because, you know, my statement's going to be disproved anyhow in about a matter of 2 seconds. Mick Foley got Jim Ross fired. Soak that in. Is that actually true? No. But if you think about it, Mick Foley was the one who started the train leaving its tracks.
I don't know about that. It's, for those of you that have not seen the symposium, it's basically, it was where you had six or seven guys to get together. It was Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Mick Foley, Ric Flair, Paul Heyman, and Steve Austin all get together on stage. And they did basically a panel with Jim Ross officiating the panel, where they were talking about WWE 2K14. They were talking about the WrestleMania mode, and more specifically their favorite memories of WrestleMania. And there was a whole script that they were supposed to follow. And, well, they sort of went off script when Mick Foley called JR, and the fact that, well, he hadn't acknowledged Flair as far as his favorite WrestleMania moment, to which JR quipped, well, he was going to go through everyone else, and then he was going to get to Flair, because, well, we all know Ric Flair. And if you've seen this thing, you know that Ric Flair was wasted.
Yeah,
wasted before he hit the stage.
Yeah, he had a bunch to drink, and Jim Ross mentioned throughout the symposium that, you know, Flair had been drinking and did try to stop him multiple times. And, well, things then got out of hand as Ric Flair started making comments that WWE wasn't too happy with. 2K was happy with, but WWE was not.
Yeah, they were not. The rumored comment that supposedly was the, ironically, the nail in the coffin, was the mention of Ric Flair regarding his son Reed's passing, and more specifically, the story of how he put his Hall of Fame ring, one of them, in the coffin with Reed, and then gave the other one to his son David, and WWE replaced the one that he placed in his son's coffin. Mm-hmm. And he gave a really touching compliment to the WWE through that story, you know, and put them over like crazy for that. But apparently that is the rumored comment that was supposedly the one that got them in trouble. However, there were several others that you could cite that could have easily done the same thing. There was a TNA mention. There were a couple other things as well that probably could have gotten them in trouble.
John Cena, a hardcore drinker, was one that's, you know, rumored to have gotten, sparked some interest within WWE about being upset about it. But that's not confirmed. But yeah, it's Ric Flair was Ric Flair. And there's really nothing Jim Ross could have done about it. You know, you can't. Ric Flair's a legend. You don't want to again, you don't want to sit there and embarrass a legend, like, you know, in the middle of a live show. So there's not much Jim Ross could do, and 2K was happy, and after, you know, the rumors had it that, you know, right after the thing, WWE pulled the offer to Ric Flair, and they were very pissed at Jim Ross, didn't want anything to do with Jim Ross for a while, and, you know, they thought, okay, after 3 or 4 weeks, time had passed, everything, the heat on Jim Ross cooled down, and then Tuesday night, he was called up to Stanford. People got wind. Jim Ross is in Stanford. That's never good.
Yeah, it's JR doesn't go up there for really anything, so if he gets called up there for something, yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not very good. Apparently, Vince McMahon made the call. Jim Ross is done. But they made the call and gave him this out where he can go off on his own and retire from the company, saving face without being publicly fired for like the 37th time in his career by Vince McMahon. This one's a retirement, in quotations, for Jim Ross.
Well, and here's the thing. Who's actually saving face? Is it WWE or is it Jim Ross? Because, I mean, Jim Ross being fired again over some silly allegations isn't necessarily going to hurt him. It more hurts WWE in the sense that, especially if the rumors are to be believed, and he's being fired over these comments that were made by Ric Flair and his failure to supposedly control Flair, which, as you said, it's Ric Flair, and I'm going to get into that rant in a minute, but, you know, it seems like it's more WWE trying to save face rather than Ross, because it's like, if you think about it, he's a 20-year veteran for the company. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the most, if not the most, recognized announcer in wrestling history. He's beloved by the fan base. You know, it's Jim Ross getting fired over this. Everybody would probably side with Jim Ross over versus WWE, because they would end up being the villain. So I would argue that it's not necessarily Jim Ross trying to save face, it's WWE.
Oh, I agree. This is more about WWE trying to save face than Jim Ross, but they were also trying to give him the polite way out of it, basically.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. But, you know, I kind of have to call shenanigans on WWE for this for a lot of reasons, because it's like you're upset over comments that Flair made, and it's you expect JR to control it. And I understand he was the mediator, but it's Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were getting into when they booked Flair for this. They knew alcohol was going to be there. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that you know Flair. You know him. If anybody knows Flair, if anybody's ever seen Flair, especially when he's drinking, he's a loose cannon.
Oh, without question. Once he gets some drinks in him, well, he doesn't even need drinks in him to become a loose cannon, but still. He is a very loose cannon, especially with alcohol, and will say whatever's on his mind to get attention his way, and that's what he did.
Pretty much, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, what do you expect JR to do? Walk up and smack him in the face and tell him to be quiet? I mean, it's... JR did his best. Could he have done more? Yes. I can fault him there. But, I mean, it's Flair. Honestly, some of this blame should also fall on WWE. It's like, their handlers should have spotted that Flair was not in any condition to do that symposium. I mean, it's like, you send him out there drunk. Mm-hmm. Visibly drunk. I mean, what do you expect? It's... So, as we were saying last night in reaction to this, this feels a little bit like BS.
Oh, it is complete BS. Jim Ross should not have been fired. Jim Ross was big with the developmental part of the company, and he was helping the new announcers, the new talent down in NXT, you know, get their stuff over and what have you. He's been working a lot with some of the announcers down there, and he's training them and what have you, and he's doing, you know, scouting like he used to. With WWE, he's been a big part of developmental, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, and then there's the point you brought up to me last night, where as far as 2K is concerned, Jim Ross is the voice, one of the voices of the 30 years of WrestleMania mode. He's heavily featured in the game, so it's like you retire him, or forcibly retire him, right before the game release, before WrestleMania. It's like, so does that mean JR is no longer going to be part of the publicity for the game? Does that mean he's not going to be part of WrestleMania? Because honestly, it's not WrestleMania if JR isn't there.
Usually, yeah, JR is usually a big part of WrestleMania, at least the last few years. I don't think they did last year, but most years they try to at least work him into a match or so to get, you know, his voice on the call. Yeah, it's going to feel weird without Jim Ross hearing him, mentions of him, because I think we're going to get less mentions of Jim Ross now on television by the announcers, because I think they'll be told to not mention him since he's retired. It's the end of the Jim Ross era, and it's a sucky way to go out. He was going out on his own, and this just seems wrong. It doesn't seem right.
It's kind of one of those things, because I made the point last night that it's like, yes, was it embarrassing to WWE? Yes, absolutely. You know, they had a little bit of the egg on their face because of Flair's behavior, but honestly, that should come more on Flair than it should come on JR. But at this stage of the game, we're a month out from SummerSlam, and nobody even really remembers the symposium. Nobody remembers that those comments were made. Nobody's really even talking about the fact that those comments were made. So the fact that they waited until now to do it, and they auspiciously do it, where he just all out of the blue retires, he's going to get no send-off. And what's interesting is not a lot of people have tweeted their congratulations to JR at all.
There's been people today have started. Jericho has, and a few others have. So it's slowly starting.
It's slowly starting, but I think a lot of people are seeing the writing on the wall and kind of sort of are seeing that, or we're told basically don't acknowledge it, because it seems like a slap in the face, because Vince McMahon and Hunter both wish JR the best in his future endeavors on Twitter.
Basically, yeah.
Which is kind of a slap in the face, considering if the rumors are true, what happened. So, yeah, it's the whole thing. We're going to continue to follow it if any more comes out. Meltzer's been following the story really closely, so it will be interesting to see if any more details come out, or if this is just a rumor and JR just ended up wanting to retire, though I doubt it.
Again, he made the point where, you know, I'm not looking to retire, and now he's retiring. Yeah, I don't think this was on his own, but it hit TMZ, so they got some coverage out of it. You know, so buy up some barbecue sauce. Jim Ross needs some money.
Yeah, go buy JR's barbecue sauce. Support his blog. Support him. It's at JR's barbecue on Twitter. He has an amazing Twitter. So yeah, follow him. Support him. All the best to JR. Hopefully what we're hearing isn't true, and hopefully he actually just did decide to retire on his own, but Meltzer's pretty reliable, so.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, my apologies to JR. This is kind of a cruddy way to end, but things happen for stupid reasons.
I think he's used to it by now.
Oh, I'm sure he's used to it, but still, this seems so unfair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's completely unfair. I totally agree.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and we're going to transition into our next story. I don't know whether it's to say speaking of unfair or speaking of fair. Dolph Ziggler gave an interview this week.
Yeah, he did. He made some interesting comments, didn't he?
He did make some interesting comments. More specifically, he actually made some comments that I have to agree with and I really have to back up, because he talked something about the blended reality mm-hmm. that they have going on right now.
Right.
And I'm going to read you the quote that he said, if I can find it. So
Bear with her a minute. He did a press interview promoting an upcoming show in October in the Syracuse area. So, yeah, he made some comments. He talked about Dean Ambrose. He talked about the blurred reality storyline that's going on. And it kind of ties into what's been going on with Jim Ross about blurred reality. And, yeah, hopefully Lindsay found it by now.
Let's see, here we go. The question was, right now you're part of the big story of the McMahons going on this power trip and them kind of playing into the way they're perceived by wrestling fans. What do you think of the story so far? And Dolph responds, honestly, if you don't find it interesting as a fan, then it's on you. Some of us hardcore fans have wanted something different, and now you're getting this blurred reality. All of these real behind-the-scenes things taking place were part of the story. Or, I'm sorry, are these real behind-the-scenes things, as in, you know, is it reality, or are they just part of the story? We don't know. And that it makes it much more fun. That's what it's all about, suspending reality. We give you a 3-hour movie, and with the internet and people being hardcore fans and knowing what's going on behind the scenes, you're not sure where the story stops and real life begins.
That's a very interesting quote, because it's a very truth-telling quote, because there's been a lot of stories, especially regarding Dolph Ziggler lately, where he's in the supposed doghouse, in quotations, and is he actually in the doghouse? Did he actually say those things on the interview to that he actually got in trouble for? Or was he put out there to get into the doghouse and say those things about Randy Orton? It's blurring that line. It's that blurred reality, as he said. It makes you wonder, what we read on the internet, what we hear on internet radio shows, is that truthful, or is it, you know, part of the story?
Right. It's one thing that WWE has been kind of doing lately is they have become much more internet friendly, internet savvy. They've become social media savvy, and they've kind of started beginning to play to the internet fans, and beginning to screw with us just a little bit. And I love that they're doing that. And what's interesting is you look at the Dolph Ziggler situation and what he's talking about here, and if you don't know, he basically gave an interview, I guess a couple weeks ago now, where he criticized Randy Orton as the face of the company, and basically brought up Orton's past as a multiple offender, as a troublemaker, and that, you know, should this guy really be the face of the company? And he got in trouble for that, and supposedly he's being punished. However, it's kind of the question that you have to ask, seeing as he's being featured every week in the storyline, and yes, he's losing every week, but so is everybody else except for the Shield.
Right. Here's the exact quote. If you've been familiar with WWE for the last 10 years, so you would understand without Triple H coming up front and coming out saying this is our handpicked guy, he's the face, no matter what we're behind them, Ziggler said. If you've been watching in the last 10 years or so, you'd already know that they made up their mind about him a long time ago. No matter what he does, good or bad, they're behind him. And they'll go out of their way to cut people's legs from underneath them to make sure Randy Orton comes out looking great. So, the fact it's now out in the open and I'm allowed to comment on it, it actually makes you sick. I'm really happy from Randy. He's awesome. So I guess that should be four. He's so good at this. It makes me mad how good he is. But the opportunities that he gets over and over again makes the chip on my shoulder feel that much bigger to me. I want to go out there and prove that they're wrong. Prove to Triple H that he backed the wrong guy for the last 10 years. And no matter what, I'm going to come out on top one way or the other.
Right, and it's interesting because you have Dolph previously make comments about this, and that's what's gotten him in trouble with the corporation on TV. Is he previously made comments, or is that stemming from the interview? I'm trying to remember.
This was the original quote that got him in trouble.
Okay, so this is for the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what they use as the excuse on TV.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, on one side of it, Dolph could have criticized the face of the company. He said something he wasn't supposed to, and he's being punished on television by being forced to job everybody. Not that, you know, and the people he's being forced to job to are really the top guys in the company right now. So I don't know how necessarily, other than losing, that's punishment.
Right. Is he, you know, losing money? No. Is he lower on the card? Not really. He's, again, they're blurring reality with him.
And so it's like you have to wonder, did he actually say those things because he believes them, or did he say them because he was told to say them?
You just don't know. Again, and that's, like, and that's what the good part about this whole thing is, this whole storyline is. You're not sure what's real. You're not sure what's fake. You just, you get the sense of, it could all be real, it could all be fake. It's reality-based. It's interesting. It's intriguing. There's twists and turns to the story. Your favorite guy is being pushed down by the establishment. You're angry about it. It makes the television product, and it gets people upset and angry at the product as well. But that's what they're supposed to do.
Right. They want you to emotionally invest in this. They want you to be interested. They want you to follow it. You know, they want you to want to watch it. Basically, oh my God, I can't wait to see Raw. I can't wait to see SmackDown. You know, because Ziggler goes on to say in the next question where they ask him, you know, basically about the McMahons getting their comeuppance and are they doing too much before they get it. And Ziggler basically says, you know, it's making people wait for it. As far as the comeuppance comes, it's like everybody tunes in to watch to see them get their comeuppance, and will they get it that night? And most of the time they won't, but that one night where they do finally get what's coming to them, the crowds are going to explode.
And if you think about it, it goes back to, remember when he won the World Heavyweight title, the crowd exploded because they made it wait and wait and wait and wait for it. And it built up to a big boiling point. And if you think about the greatest storylines in wrestling, where they take it their time, drag it out, and you get to that point, boom, they hit it. They make you explode with excitement and joy when that big moment finally happens. And with this storyline, it's going to be slow. It's not for the short attention span. It's going to be a long, drawn-out storyline. Daniel Bryan won't get his right away, but in the end, Daniel Bryan will be the biggest thing happening. And Dolph Ziggler will improve because of it. And the Shield will be made, even though there are heels in it. They're still going to be made in the story.
Yeah, it's everybody that's involved in this is benefiting from it right now. And that's the important thing, is you're getting guys exposed. You're getting people... Basically, you're getting Ziggler over more as a babyface than he ever was in the past. You're getting Show over as a babyface. You're solidifying the Shield, not that we didn't know this already, as heels. You're solidifying Daniel Bryan as really the top face in your company right now, and Randy Orton, your top heel.
You're redefining roles.
Basically, Daniel Bryan is being moved into the Cena position. The torch was passed, in quotations, from Cena to Bryan when Cena left, and now Bryan is being moved into that position as the top guy, as really the one that's going to carry the company forward. Because as we can tell, John Cena is starting to break down a little bit. So they need somebody to sort of take over those roles for Cena so he can now be shifted back out of that spotlight a little bit.
Right. It will lessen the wear and tear on his body when he does, in fact, come back. But yeah, with what Dolph Ziggler said, I agree with him. The blurred reality, perfect.
Oh, perfect.
If you're not a fan of it, well, watch something else.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to comment on that. LeMans, nothing can help Ryback. But it's... I love these kinds of storylines because it draws you in, it sucks you in, it's real. It feels real. It's like I was telling you last night, as far as Triple H giving, you know, these WWE.com interviews where he sits down with Michael Cole, and they give these very candid, professional interviews with Triple H. It's not being done on Raw. It's not being done on SmackDown. It's being done on .com, one-on-one, in an office, presumably in Triple H's office, you know, after it got remodeled by Brock Lesnar. And so... I like that they're doing that because it makes it feel like this is a real life situation, that Triple H and Stephanie and Vince are doing everything they can to stop Daniel Bryan, to stop him from getting that title, to stop him from getting to that next level, because they don't want him there. He's not the guy they envisioned as the face of their company. Even though he is the fans' choice, they are going to impose their will and make their guy the face of the company. And that's the story that they're telling. It's really the battle of the fans' choice versus the WWE's choice.
Right.
And who's going to win.
Right.
And I'm kind of really loving this story. And, you know, I have to agree with Ziggler. It's a little bit, it's, you know, if you're not buying into it, if you don't like it, you know, you don't like it for your own personal reasons. But if you just think it's crap for the sake of being crap, then honestly, go watch something else, because this is some of the best storytelling they've done in years.
I agree 100%.
So on that note, why don't we move on to your surprise story as I sit here and, you know, kind of sort of brace myself for it.
All right, well, we'll get to that in a second. Let's throw out a couple news bits and then we'll get to the final story. November 7th, 500th episode of TNA Impact, live on Spike TV. Check it out.
I was gonna go somewhere with that, but geez, you just ruined it.
Sorry, I was going to hit it. It's a small little story. Sorry. Fine. Where were you going to go with that?
I was going to tie it in, and, you know, when I kicked us to commercial break, but God, never mind.
Sorry.
Sure.
So I shouldn't mention the other TNA news bit, or do you want to save that for the kicker?
No. Go ahead. You ruined it now, so just go ahead.
Say this. I'm why we can't have nice things.
You are totally why we can't have nice things.
Anyway, also on October 20th, at 1 hour before Bound for Glory hits the pay-per-view, TNA will be live on Spike TV, giving you a recap of the Hall of Fame, a live match. So it's a 1 hour pre-show on Spike TV before Bound for Glory on October 20th. So there you go. Now, the story that Lindsay's worried about.
I'm just a little scared.
All right, so the Louisiana Boxing and Wrestling Commission passed a rule yesterday prohibiting women, or men for that matter, fighters with breast implants from participating in matches.
Wait, what?
The key is that this law would include next year's WrestleMania. Now, for sure, it's Louisiana and someone paying someone, and there will likely be women with implants performing in Mania next year. They did leave it out that if the plastic surgeon who performed the surgery sends a letter, that they can be cleared. Right now, the law is only in effect for 60 days, at which point, unless it's overturned, it will become permanent. Right now, it will affect MMA fighters, some MMA fights coming up. Dr. Thomas Ferguson of Louisiana Commission said he doesn't believe a plastic surgeon would sign off. I don't know of a single plastic surgeon who is going to allow his artistic work to be messed up.
I know plenty of plastic surgeons who would allow their artistic work to be messed up. Because guess what? If it gets messed up, that means that the girl's going to come back and get them redone, and that's more money for him.
Mm-hmm. So, react to that.
That's stupid! So basically, no women's wrestling next year, except for maybe AJ and Natty, because I think Natties are real.
I believe Bree's are real, too.
Bree's okay. Natty's okay. I think Cameron and Naomi are okay. AJ's good. So, yeah, this is just, why would you do that? Why would you ban breast implants? Women have been competing for years. Like, is there a reason why? Is there a cause?
No.
I mean, I can understand if, like, somebody's popped and they got silicone poisoning and died, but it's like women have been competing with breast implants for years in all kinds of sports, and it hasn't affected them at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is some BS right here. Somebody paid somebody to get this through, because, yeah, this is just stupidity. Unless it's basically Louisiana's trying to get WWE to pay them a whole lot of money to overturn that.
Well, now that you asked, there is a follow-up to this story.
Of course there is.
Because this story was posted, you know, earlier today. Whenever I sent you the message that I have the story...
Mm-hmm.
About an hour later, there was a follow-up. WWE legal team got aware of this. they weren't unaware of this law, they can contact the commission today. The commission has now stated that the rule will be limited to only boxing and MMA and not for pro wrestling. So, somebody decided, let's put out some dollar bills and got pro wrestling to allow breast implants.
Yeah. And you know that's why that got passed, is because, well, because it's like, as far as boxing and MMA go, at least for the high levels, UFC, Bellator, and independent boxing fights, they can just avoid Louisiana. WWE was a little screwed because they've already announced that they're going to the Sugar Bowl for 30, and while I'm sure, actually, you know, honestly, I'm sure they could move it. I'm sure there's several cities that would love to take it from New Orleans. The sets have already been ordered. They're already probably in fabrication as we speak. So it's not like they can just, you know, up and move this sucker 6 months out.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not surprised that, you know, the WWE legal team called them and were like, yeah, no, that's not going to fly. Fix it now.
Fix this now.
Yeah, yeah, that was a ploy by somebody to get money out of WWE, and it's a well-timed, well-played ploy. I applaud you.
So yeah, that
but
was
stupid nonetheless.
Was I right? It was a weird story.
It was a weird story. I will agree, but not as terrifying as I initially thought. So.
By the way, we're down to one less than a minute, and the Jets have the ball. So will they or won't they win this game?
Well, we're going to have to see. They've been doing a lot of slipping and sliding on both sides because of the rain, and there's been a lot of turnovers because of the rain because, well, the receivers just can't hold on to the ball. But, oh, God. He got pushed down and he got spiked with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not nice.
That ain't cool.
That ain't cool, yo. So on that note, we're going to kick it to break. We're going to watch the rest of this football game. And when we come back, oh, interception by New England. It's over. So never mind. The football game's done.
They just blew our tees. God damn it.
You bastards! Oh, wait. There's a flag. There's a flag. It might not be over. So anyway, we'll let you know what happens to the football game when we come back on the break, because we're also going to be talking all about tonight's exciting No Surrender. What happened? Who won? Who lost? Did titles change hands? We're not sure, so we're going to kick it to break. We're going to watch the Jets and the Patriots beat each other up, and we'll see you here in a few minutes. You'll listen to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. You okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? You okay? You okay? You okay, Annie? Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on our subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Patriot.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone,
while I'm in the middle of plowing, and I'll just go, yay, listen to CB Radio!
On October 5th,
the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 300th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look! It's 4 billion years of awesome radio!
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big, drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
Spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't, digit porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. Well, it's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a chain than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That part of the cost is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker. I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 300th
episode of CB Radio, Saturday night,
October 5th,
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Puck was on, CP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Puck are all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I'm Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, where the Patriots have just narrowly escaped getting beaten by the Jets. Final score is 13-10. Patriots. There was a lot of wet wildness, a fight, all kinds of fun stuff here at the in the last 38 seconds of the game. But there's your football update. And now we're going to move into our Impact Review.
Yes, our Impact Review brought to you, as always, by TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Yes, and if you're listening to us over there, hi, thanks for listening. So, well, I guess we just got to start at the beginning where we open up No Surrender Tonight with two really fantastic video packages for the Bound for Glory series and for Mr. Anderson versus Bully Ray tonight for the title. Very well done. As always, I can't...
They were making this feel like a pay-per-view.
They really were. They really tried to make it feel like a pay-per-view, and they did a good job with it. Really for all the video packages throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
They did a nice job. And then, well, after the video packages, we get a bully with his brook.
We get a bully with a brook, and he had some things, well, to say.
I am in a very bad mood. So it's in everybody's best interest to not piss me off and let me say what I gotta say. Things within my family haven't exactly been going right as of late. Me and my vice president ain't on the same page. But Ken, I'm with... Ken! I'm willing to forgive you, Ken! I'm willing to forgive you! Because at the end of the day, all of our problems are because of one man and one man only. And that is that piece of crap, Hulk Hogan!
Speaking of that one man, and that one man only that has turned the world of aces and eights upside down, yeah, here's the general manager.
Burning, did some idiot out here mention my name? Well, you know, the first thing I'd like to do is let everybody know, welcome to No Surrender, and thanks to Spike TV, it's free and it's live, and thank God it's happening right here in St. Louis, Missouri. You know, there's a lot of business at hand tonight, but I promise you, maniacs, by the end of the night, we're going to know what the main event is for Bound for Glory. But before we get there, instead of placing the blame, you big crybaby, you should be worried about defending your world heavyweight title against one of your brothers, brother. You know something, Hulk? You're the reason why there's problems with the aces and eights. I know my brother Ken Anderson is going to do the right thing. Like I said, you should be worried about putting your world heavyweight title up against one of your own family members, one of your brothers, brother. That's what you need to worry about tonight. Well, if he's here, I'd like him to come out here right now and tell me face to face.
Here's the man that will challenge for the world heavyweight title unless he does the right thing.
Oh, show your sword right there.
Billy Ray just talked about.
Ha ha, that away, Anderson. Blow off the holster like that. See? Anderson's going to do the right thing. You can feel it. that was hilarious.
What do you know that we don't?
Don't worry about what I know. It's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know it.
Shut it off. Notice how he did not shake your hand.
Told you.
Notice how he turned his back on you. you. This, our colors, are stronger than you will ever be. Ken, all you gotta do is apologize, and it's over.
I just gotta apologize. You're right. You're absolutely right. I was out of line, brother. I was out of line. And I can't freaking wait to get out of line tonight!
Oh! What the hell?
And there will be a new World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Anderson! Wait for it! Wait for it! Anderson! And Bully Ray, good luck with no surrender tonight, brother, because the World Heavyweight title match is now an official last man standing match, brother.
Oh, we saw it
brother.
Last week. We just heard it again. Mr.
Brother.
Brother.
A little bit too many brothers. Just pointing that out.
Brother.
Yeah. Brother, sister, mother, father. But interesting opening segment to the show.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. So I learned something, Lindsay.
You learned something?
Since last week, I've learned something.
What did you learn?
About one Brooke Tessmacher. Apparently, a long time ago, she won an award for her ass.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How do you win an award for that?
I don't know, but apparently she has an award-winning ass. This is what I've learned in the past week.
Okay, then. I guess that's a good thing to know.
I was like, okay, then. That's something, you know. And apparently when she first came into the company, they refused to show her ass for some reason. I don't know why, but this is what they said. These are things I learned during the week.
That's all she's got going for her?
Apparently.
All right, well, that's
that said,
good to know. You know, if you're going to win an award for a body part, that's a good one to win it on.
Why not your ass? Now then, speaking of ass and the whole Mr. Asshole, Mr. Anderson, he was good.
He was really good. I liked how they had him come out. You know, he snubs Hogan. You're thinking, oh, is it all set up? And nope. I loved that, you know, he sort of played along until, well, it was time for him not to. And then he's like, I can't wait to get out of line. I can't wait to challenge you. And yeah, that was perfect. It's exactly what you needed. It puts Bully, you know, in an extremely weak position because it's like, well, he's lost his VP. You know, one of his main legs of support. His VP's gone. So now what happens?
Exactly.
So it will be interesting to see as we carry through the night. But they didn't want to waste any time, so we won't either. They moved directly into Austin Aries versus AJ Styles for a semifinal Bound for Glory series match. And oh my god, what a match.
This match was pretty good.
It's Aries versus Styles. I mean, really, what can you say about this other than it was fantastic?
It was a really, really good match. They, Aries tried for a while to get the brain buster. He was able to finally hit it, but only got a 2. He tried to put on the last chancery. AJ was able to get out of it. And then Aries went to the top. He went for, I believe, a 450, missed, landed on his feet. Ended up somehow back on the top rope. AJ with a Pele kick. Aries was dazed. Then off the middle rope, a super-sized style clash for the 1, 2, 3.
Which looked just absolutely sick on TV.
That was John Cena. John Cena. this is what how you do a Styles Clash off the middle rope, where you don't drop a person on their head.
Just pointing that out.
Just pointing that one out. Yeah, that was a sick finish to a really good match.
Yeah, and so AJ picks up the victory. He's moving on to the finals, and the question then becomes, well, who is he going to face? And, but yeah, this was a great way to open the show with the promo and then the fantastic match. They opened really hot. It was really nice. Nice. Very well done on their part.
A lot of time. They gave this match about 15 minutes. Let them tell a nice story. And you got two great wrestlers put on a hell of a match. And, well, the phenomenal one is now headed to the finals. But the question is, who will he face?
Well, I guess we'll find out in a bit, because before we get there, we have Magnus backstage. He's getting ready. Sting's giving him a pep talk, reminding him why he was accepted into the main event mafia, because, well, all the rest of them are, you know, former heavyweight champions, but Magnus isn't, because they waive that, because they see the potential in Magnus. He's the future. He's going to be a world heavyweight champion. So they let that slide for the time being. Magnus gets up. He appreciates Sting, he appreciates the Mafia and everything they've done for him, but, you know, he's tired of talking about things. He's tired of being the future. He says, as of tonight, the future is now.
Nice, solid promo by Magnus and Sting. It really sold that Magnus believes the future is now and that he wants to move on and get into the finals of the Bound for Glory series and main event Bound for Glory.
Yeah, and you had the Mafia basically, you know, chortling their victory, like, oh, you know, well, he's ready. He's mm-hmm. good to go. Let's do this.
By the way, Samoa Joe just sitting in their chair. That was pure Mafia right there.
Yeah. Where Joe, you know, gives that nod of approval of he's ready.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say a word, he just sat there and nodded along. Yeah.
Yeah, pure unadulterated Mafia right there. We're so proud of you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Well played. But after this, we move right into Magnus versus Bobby Roode. And, well, Bobby didn't want to waste any time, man. He was ready to go when he got out there.
He was all excited and ready to go. He was hot. He was ready to fight. And, well, Magnus came right out, and they had a fight.
They did. They had a hell of a match.
Really good stuff between the two. They weren't given as much time as the opener, but, you know, for the time they got, this was a pretty good back-and-forth match. It was really enjoyable. The crowd got into it. They got into the Magnus's submission, the Cloverleaf, whereas Taz was calling it the Kingston, for some reason.
So the Kingston?
It's Taz, I don't know.
Okay.
They had some nice exchanges, and it ended with Roode going for the Fisherman Suplex, Magnus blacked, and hit a jackknife pin for the three, so Magnus beats Roode and heads to the finals to face off against AJ Styles.
And, well, Bobby wasn't happy about this.
No, Bobby Roode was not happy. He flipped out.
He flipped out at ringside, and then we go back to the backstage where he's continuing to flip out. He's yelling at Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. He thinks that he got screwed by Hogan. He's not happy, and basically Bobby decrees that, well, if he's not going to make it to the finals, then nobody's going to make it to the finals, and the ego is going to see to it that no one gets there. And Christopher Daniels and Kazarian are right behind Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Looking very, very dapper. I might add. I had to throw that up there. After this, we have Hogan in the office. He's encouraging TJ Perkins. I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it right. Just want to make sure. He's encouraging TJ Perkins regarding, you know, the X Division title and being manic. Hogan thinks that, you know, TJ's come a long way with him, you know, and TJ says, you know, thank you and appreciates it. And he says, you know, when he's got the mask on, he really comes into his own and it really helps to bring him out of his shell, so to speak. He's very appreciative and he's very confident. And he says that, well, I'm feeling so confident, I'm feeling so good that I want a match with Jeff Hardy.
Hmm.
To which, yeah, to it's like, okay, well, you know, that's fair. To which Hogan, you know, agrees.
He agreed. You get Jeff Hardy. I'm just wondering when you're getting Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that was the one thing they left out. They didn't say when he was getting Hardy. They just said he was getting Hardy.
Like, when the promo aired, it's like, oh, sweet, we got an additional match tonight with Jeff Hardy versus, Tim Manek. Apparently not. Apparently not. Not this week, maybe. Next week, who knows? We'll find out.
Yes. They'll tell us eventually. At least I hope they will. Because we, you know, we'd kind of like to know that. Just pointing that out.
Unless it's at Bound for Glory, who knows?
Could be Bound for Glory, too. So, you know, TNA, please let us know that, you know, this is when this is going to happen.
Be good information to know.
Be totally good information to know. But on that note, we then move to Aces and Eights backstage, and Bully doesn't have a happy.
Hold on, you're missing one thing. You missed Dixie Carter walking
in. Oh, I'm sorry. We missed Dixie. I'm so sorry, Dixie. After this, Dixie walks in. She's not exactly happy either. Apparently, there was a lot of unhappy going around Impact tonight. She walks in, basically TJ leaves, and, well, she says that Bellator called, their lawyers are upset about what happened last week, things are escalating a lot faster than they thought, and because of that, well, both Ortiz and Rampage have been pulled off the show until further notice, because they feel that the November 2nd fight is in danger because of what's going on. And Hogan says, well, that's a bummer, but you know what? Nothing's stopping them from going at it when they come back after the fight, so I think we should serve Tito Ortiz to Rampage on a silver platter the week after the fight, which, conveniently coincides with that 500th episode of Impact. Conveniently! It's almost like it was planned. Oh, wait.
Nah.
So on that note, we go to the Aces and A's where Bully has a match.
There you go.
What is happening to this club? I can't believe the disrespect that my vice president has shown me. And honestly, when I look at the three of you, I almost think that you're happy that he threw that hammer away last week. I think you're happy that he drilled me in the mouth tonight. I think in the back of your mind, you might actually want Ken Anderson to be your president, to be your world heavyweight champion. I can't believe that you guys would feel that way after everything I have done for you. I put this club together for us. That selfish bastard has done nothing. I brought him in. I made him one of us. You don't want him as your world heavyweight champion and your president, do you? You don't want him as your president and your world champion, do you? But are you, Bish? No, you don't. I know you don't. And I know you're going to do the right thing. I know you wear all colors proud. And I know you're proud of me, because I'm proud of you guys. And I love every single one of you. I hope you feel the same about me.
So, could there be a little dissension in the ranks? Where do Wes, Bish, and Nux's loyalties lie? Are they with Bully or are they with Anderson?
I guess we're going to find out tonight.
I guess we are, and I think if we're going to find out next, because after this we see, well, we see Anderson on his way to the ring, and then they go right into the title match. Bully Ray versus Ken Anderson in a last man standing match for the World Heavyweight Championship, which I was actually a little surprised that this went on mid-show. I'm not going to lie. I figured this would actually be the main event, but I understand why they had to put it on here as opposed to later in the show, because they needed to obviously rest the Bound for Glory series guys.
Yeah, and they technically put it on during their highest rated point of their show, usually is the 10 o'clock hour part, so they put their main event on at a good time for them ratings-wise. And but guess what? They gave them time, and this was a fantastic match.
Oh, good God!
This was a fight like no other. They just beat the crap out of each other, especially Mr. Anderson. He gave it his all, beating the crap out of Bully Ray throughout the match. There were things with the chair. There were things where Anderson basically went, "Anderson, get the table," which I laughed at, which was very funny.
It was well played, very well played.
So we had a table involved, we had a chair involved, we had a lot of Bully Ray screaming at Taz screaming at Anderson to not, you know, stop it, you know, that sort of deal. And then we got a really interesting rough bump on Earl Hebner, where he, like, basically went head first into a turnbuckle.
Yeah, I guess that means no boiled peanuts for Bully. To which I yelled at the TV, "Bully, play nice with him, he's old!"
He is an old man. Yes, he is.
Well, he's not that old, but, like, that was my initial reaction to it. It's like, oh, God, don't kill Earl.
Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of, Mr. Anderson hit the mic check on a steel chair with Earl Hebner down. This allowed the Aces and Eights to come out. And, well, they were wondering which side are they on? Because Ray actually was able to get up and, you know, hit a cutter on Anderson, and both men were down. The Aces came out. You wondered which side were they on? They were helping up Mr. Anderson. And then Miss Tessmacher, Brooke Tessmacher, came in the ring and gave Anderson a low blow. And then, well, the Aces and Eights went on attack. They gave a triple powerbomb to Mr. Anderson, which only led to a 9 count, not a 10 count. Bully grabbed the chain, hit him in the head with it, busted him wide open, really busted him open. Some nice blood there. Again, only a 9 count. So, at this point, Bully's wondering, what can I do? Anderson's stumbling around and gets speared right through a table, which led to many to believe Anderson was dead. At that point, it ended with the 10 count. Bully Ray survives, as he is the still World Heavyweight Champion.
But it didn't end there.
No, it didn't end there. Officials came to the ring, medical officials, they put a neck brace on Anderson, they started to stretch him out, and then realized, well, maybe you should be smart to put him through the bottom rope, not the middle rope. They get him on the stretcher, they stretcher him out. Bully Ray does not let the stretcher gimmick happen. He stops him on the top of the stage, shoves him off the stretcher, pulls off the cut, taking away his colors, so he's no longer the vice president. And then, to add insult to injury, a pile driver on the stage, leaving Mr. Anderson dead, flat out, on the stage.
Yeah, that's where we went. And he's dead.
And he's basically dead at that point, yes. So, Mr. Anderson is basically dead. He's been knocked out with the pile driver. Bully then asked, "Do you know who I am? I'm the World Heavyweight Champion, and I'm the guy who just took you out."
This was very well down, well done, so fantastic. And as Acer says in the chat, Bully really knows how to play the role, and he just did a tremendous job with this.
Oh, he did a fantastic job with this. This was a great performance by Bully Ray. Great sell job by Anderson. He played. They did the turn correctly. Now when Anderson comes back, he will be over as a huge face.
Oh, he will. And expect Anderson to be off for a couple weeks, and then he'll probably come back around Bound for Glory and possibly help to screw over Bully at Bound for Glory.
Right. So, yeah, Bully Ray, world champion, keeps his belt. Really good brawl. Really good fight. And Bully Ray continues to prove that he is the best at what he does.
Yes. But speaking of the best, at least beer drinkers and fighters, Storm and Gunnar are on their way to the ring.
I was wondering when you said beer drinkers, like, who? There's like two people she could be talking about. Anyway, continue.
Well, Storm's one of them. The other one would be one ODB, who helped to hype up her match next week with Mickey James for the Knockouts title. We were speculating last week as far as when this could happen. Looks like it's happening next week. And basically she says, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, she got married. She's using coasters. Bravo.
Kind of.
Kind of. She's getting used to it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's getting all high class. But, you know, she says she hasn't been, you know, and I like how she says knocked up champ. Not uh-huh. knocked out. Knocked up champ for 3 years. And she goes on to, you know, tell Mickey, just forget about your music career. It's not like it's doing any good anyway, and concentrate on the match. Because, well, ODB's been training really hard for it. She even thought about giving up drinking. Thought about it. But, you know, basically, Mickey needs to focus because ODB's coming for her. Bam, baby.
So Mickey and ODB next week? Should be fun.
That'll be fun. And then, well, the other drunk shows up.
Sorry.
Storm and Gunnar.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Storm gets in the ring, and the only way I really was able to sum this up was Storm's drunk. That was, like, the best. Because that's how he opens the promo. He just starts out, oh, hell, I'm drunk. Great, James. Fantastic. He rambled on about them apparently wanting to sit back and watch the Bound for Glory series, but they decided not to watch the Bound for Glory series because, well, Gunnar wanted to fight. And, you know, Storm says, well, hell, why can't we do both? So Storm then basically issues an open challenge to anybody in the back. You know, he tells them all to man up. He doesn't care if it's the bromance. He doesn't care if it's the Aces and Idiots. He doesn't care who it is, as long as they step up. At which point we hear some familiar music, and, well, seems Chavo and Hernandez are the ones to step up and accept the challenge.
Yay.
Chavo comes out, and, you know, he basically talks smack to Storm and Gunnar. He tells them, well, you know, it was a year ago at Bound for Glory that, well, he and Hernandez won those tag titles. And, you know, Storm's a fantastic tag team wrestler. He's been a part of, you know, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. You know, so he's pretty good. And, you know, Gunnar's strong. He can bench, like, what, 300? But he's not the strongest guy in the company. That's Hernandez. So, yeah, and I kind of lost interest from there because he kept talking and I kind of lost
God, Chavo Guerrero's back. Yay!
But basically then Gunnar took the mic and, you know, he basically challenges Chavo and Hernandez next week to a match where if Chavo and Hernandez win, they get a title shot, I believe, at Bound for Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Gunnar then tells them, well, if they get up in their business again, if they get all up in the Kool-Aid, well, they're going to get stirred.
Nice tie-in.
Thank you.
Oh, that was well done. Yeah, Chavo Guerrero's back. I so have missed him on my Impact Wrestling. I will say this. He was better than he's been in a while. He was more heelish tonight, and that kind of works for him, but still Chavo Guerrero. But yeah, we'll get the Chavo and Hernandez versus Storm and Gunnar next week. And, you know, as Lindsay said, if Chavo and Hernandez win, they get a shot at the titles. So we'll see if they can earn themselves a shot at the gold.
We'll have to see. And then we see backstage, AJ's on his way to the ring, and then we get your main event of the evening, Magnus versus AJ Styles in the finals of the Bound for Glory series.
This is the finals of the Bound for Glory series, so the match is going on and on and on, having a good fight, and then out came Ego, and, well, they interrupted the festivities, laying out both AJ Styles and Magnus.
To which I then asked Rock, well, shouldn't that make this a no contest?
That's what I figured. I figured, oh, they're going to throw this match out, whatever have you, but apparently not. Apparently they let the matchup continue, because Hogan got on the app, that they don't have, but got on the app and said, this match shall continue, because there must be a winner tonight.
They wish they have an app. They think they have an app.
They think they have an app. I don't know, you know. Jeff Hardy has an app, so maybe they did it on his workout app. I don't know. So the match continued. They traded submissions with the Cloverleaf and the Calf Killer. They battled tooth and nail against one another. But it ended up with the spiral tap from AJ Styles, which was fantastic looking, right down on a Magnus for the 1-2-3. Which means AJ Styles is now the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title and will get a shot at Bound for Glory, Lindsay.
That's right. So AJ Styles goes from worst to first. He redeems himself after last year's Bound for Glory series by becoming the number one contender for Bully Ray's title. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here.
They had a fantastic, they had a fantastic match.
Oh, they did. They completely did. It was well done. They mixed well. They didn't, I don't think, had as much time as they should have. And some of it felt a little bit off. Because it's like when you had, you know, honestly, when you expected Ego to interfere. You knew that one was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they did it fairly early in the match, and it really kind of was awkward when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like the ref didn't know what to do, so it's like the match should have been... It's almost like they should have thrown the match out and then had Hogan come out and restart it and say, no, 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 there must be a winner. And then you restart the match.
Right.
That's what should have happened. It didn't. So it's, you know, they just kept going, which is fine, but it was kind of awkward. A little bit, but other than that, it was an absolutely fantastic match. Well done to both men. A well-deserved victory for AJ Styles. And, well, AJ had a couple things to say, didn't he?
Yes, indeed he do.
I said I was going to do it, and I did it right here in St. Louis. And I couldn't have done it without you. I couldn't have done it without you, sir. I couldn't have done it without you. And there ain't no way I'm doing it without you guys.
Hey, Lindsay. He couldn't have done it without us.
Hot damn!
We got credit. Thanks, AJ. We appreciate the shout out.
We'll have your people call our people. We'll do lunch.
Yeah. Well, we'll set a lunch.
Hey, you know what? I got a lot of response from what I said a couple of weeks ago. But I didn't get one from one in particular person. I didn't get a call. I didn't get a text. I didn't even get a tweet. And Dixie Carter, we all know how you like to tweet.
Nice hey. Shot.
I pointed out a lot of mistakes over the past 11 years. So, Carter, do yourself a favor. Get your little secretary, apprentice, or whatever you're calling her to remind you to show up next week. Because if you thought I pointed out a couple of mistakes a couple of weeks ago, I'm about to bust the biggest one next week. So, Dixie... Dixie Carter, this is your wake-up call for next week.
AJ Styles,
He's headed to Bound for Glory to challenge for the world title.
Some strong words from one Mr. AJ Styles to one Miss Dixie Carter.
Now the question is, what will he have to say?
One can only guess, but definitely a nice way to close the show with AJ calling out Dixie. So what will happen? I guess we gotta tune in next week to find out.
We shall. This was a good show.
This was a great show. It wasn't as good as Destination X, but I think that's just because it was, oh my god, is Chris Sabin going to win the title?
Yeah, I think this was a little bit better than Hardcore Justice, though.
Little bit better. I mean, I think what saved them was honestly the Last Man Standing match, because that was so fantastic, and then you had the opening match, which was so good, plus the drama throughout the night with Anderson and Bully. I think what really helped this was the stuff with Anderson and Bully.
And what's good about the TV pay-per-views, the TV specials events, they don't overload it. They focus on three or four things, and they give it all time, which is good.
Yeah, what was interesting was there was a lot more wrestling on this show. It was very wrestling heavy, which I don't have a problem with at all.
No, it was fine, because, yeah, they were giving you that pay-per-view feel on free TV. So they were focused on the wrestling. They weren't trying to overload it with, here, let's fit everybody in that we could. They fit it in as many people as they could, and they worked it pretty good.
Sorry, as I take a drink of water. So bravo to them. Well done. Well played. And on that note, I think we should kick it to our second break.
Sounds like a plan, because when we come back, Lindsay, we're going to get to some pick 'em.
We are, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and when we come back, we're going to be getting into Tweet of the Week and Night of Champions, where we're going to give you our full review and pick 'em. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally!
finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Ed. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs, including some championship memorabilia, which I'm sure they have because they're having a huge sale right now, so go check them out. But you know what else is championship material? If he leaves me hanging,
what's
tweet
that?
Of the week.
What's that, Lindsay? I forgot.
Tweet
I was,
of the week.
You usually just send it right to Tweet of the Week, so I'll mute it. Anyway, as you're saying.
Just send it to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You know, I tried to make it all interactive. I tried to include you, and yeah, you just, you know.
My bad.
Can't even, you know, try something different because, you know, you won't play along. So anyway, I only have two. God only knows how many you have.
I got a bunch, so I'll let you go.
All right. WWE Creative Humor. The At Edge Rated R Art Collection, because he can draw more than just a dime. Hashtag merch. Al Snow. I don't have a smartphone. I have a phone that has potential but won't apply itself.
Interesting.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's it.
Alright, Big E Langston. Who would have thought I wouldn't be... Who would have thought I wouldn't be the one to start a gang? AJ Lee replies, we're PMS, you can be meat. Which reminds me, I'm going to need that pampering on my desk ASAP. So, and it continues, Big E Langston, I'm in, that's it. Only if you call your group finisher, the Red River, and scream immediately before there will be blood.
Ha!
Someone replies, I thought Doff could be meat. Angel replies, Doff is always meat.
Aww.
Jim Ross tweeted, if Tim Tebow trained at the WWE Performance Center for a match at WrestleMania 30, for a match at WrestleMania 30, who should he face? You know, Tim Tebow at WWE QB? Smiley face. Road Dogg replied, he would face CM Punk, billed as Faith versus Science.
Interesting.
Let's see. WWE first tweeted out to It's Bailey WWE. Maybe a professional Rock'em Sock'em robot player too. She replied to them. Maybe a professional friend as well. WWE Universe replied. Maybe at WWE AJ Lee is taking applications. She goes. I hope so. I want in. I hope she's taking hugs too. AJ Lee replies, hey Bailey, my mom wants to ask you to stop calling her after midnight. Thanks. She replies, okay, please tell Mama Lee that I'm sorry. I'll call as soon as I wake up in the morning instead. Promise.
Oh, Bailey, you're so amazing.
Samoa Joe, if you can't be by yourself or can't be yourself around your friends, they are not your friends. They are people who are temporarily nice to you. CM Punk replied, Satans and acquaintances. Joe replies, so many these days. CM Punk, it's all I got, bud. Joe replies, want a hamburger? CM Punk, no.
Oh!
Not Bill Walton tweets, there have been four safeties in the NFL today. Clearly, that's four more than the amount Aaron Hernandez had on his gun.
Ooh!
Not Bill Walton. Tom Brady has 49 straight games with a TD pass. That's nothing compared to his streak of 612 straight days of awkwardly wearing Ugg boots. He also tweets, the Redskins are pulling a Giants who pulled a Jaguars, who are always pulling a Jaguars.
Oh, God.
RG3 is playing like he wants to go back to saying, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. May I take your order?
Oh!
Chris.
That's harsh!
Continues with Not Bill Walton. Chris Tucker, Snoop Dogg, and Paula Abdul were on the first episode of the new Arsenio Hall show tonight. I'd be so excited if it was still 1993.
So what, Arsenio Hall?
Mm-hmm. Big E Langston, I'm going to start a podcast. I will discuss all the things I don't like about Ghostface Killah. It will consist entirely of dead air. Big E Langston, due to an unfortunate legal misunderstanding involving E Network, I will now be going by Small E Langston.
Okay, then.
And for finally, Not Bill Walton. Drake has a new song called Wu-Tang Forever, looking down from a crack den up in the sky. ODB is outraged. Somewhere in Bolivia, so is Tupac.
Ah!
And that, my friends, is Tweet of the week.
Well played. Well done. Mm-hmm. And if you, let's see, does chat room have any?
Got a second chat room? Any? Bueller? Anyone?
Yeah.
Alright.
For those of you that don't know, if you're new to the show, if you're listening to the show first time, we do this every week. Go find your favorite tweets, throw them in our interactive chat room at wildtalkradio.com, and we will read them on the air, provided we haven't already grabbed them. Because, as you can tell, my producer, he grabs a lot. You know, just a lot. So anyway, moving on. Let's double check chat room one last time. Nope. Okay, moving on. We are going to go right into our Night of Champions preview. That's right. It is this Sunday where it's all on the line. And we have some really exciting matches slated. Don't we rock?
Yes, we have a bunch of matches slated for Night of Champions. Did you tell the folks how to enter?
Well, I haven't even gotten to the Pick'em Challenge yet.
Oh, okay then. We have a bunch of matches to get into, but we're also doing a Pick'em Challenge. So tell the people about it.
Do we have a prize this week?
Tell people about the Pick'em Challenge.
Okay, we don't have a prize. So you win bragging rights. And you might win something if we get something, but we'll have to see. But yeah, for the most part, you win bragging rights. So anyway, we do this little thing every pay-per-view, TNA and WWE, where we do a Pick'em Challenge. Basically, all we do, it's real simple. You just pick who's going to win the matches. We put the matches out there, and you pick along with us. We have a guy named Kane Kittens. He records them usually, and he'll keep them for Sunday, where the guys on WTR will go through the results of the show, and we find out who won the Pick'em Challenge. We have our own little bragging rights thing, so we're not applicable to win the contestant prizes, but we do, you know, just give each other crap for the sake of giving each other crap. Since Kane Kittens is not here...
Yeah, I like to always be right, so, you know.
Yeah, he does. So since Kane Kittens is not here right now, if you want to play along with our Pick'em Challenge, go ahead and send your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet them to us @wildtalkradio. You can go to facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, and you can submit them there. You have up until what time on Sunday?
Let's go with 5 p.m. on Sunday.
All right, 5 p.m. on Sunday to submit your picks and go from there.
And if you've already made picks, you have until Saturday at midnight to change them.
Fair enough. So on that note, let's get into the pre-show match.
Let's get into the pre-show. It's a number one contenders tag team turmoil, Lindsay.
It is. We have the primetime players taking on the Usos, taking on Tons of Funk, taking on the Real Americans, taking on 3MB for a shot at the Shield's tag team titles for later in the night.
This one's a hard one to think of. It's a hard one to pick, kind of, sort of. If you really think about it, there are two teams that you really have to consider for this matchup, and at least that's to me, and that's the primetime players and the Usos. Because I don't see Tons of Funk getting that shot. I don't see the Real Americans getting that shot, and it would be the biggest upset in wrestling history if 3MB ended up getting this tag team title shot. So, to me, it boils down to the primetime players and the Usos. What's your thinking?
I'm kind of along the lines of actually going with the primetime players, just because they seem to be getting more of a push than anybody else lately. But I could honestly also see it being the real Americans, just because they beat the Usos. So it could be the Real Americans, because they're getting a little bit of a push, too.
They are getting a little bit of a push as well, but I don't think the Real Americans would go match up well with the Shield at this point, heel versus heel. I don't see them going there right now.
No, I don't see them going there either. Honestly, I can see it ending up being... being the primetime players, just because they're getting the push right now, obviously because of certain things that have happened that will remain nameless. So, I'm going with them.
You're going with the primetime players. To be different, I'll go Usos. It's a gut instinct. It's either the Usos or the primetime players. I'm going Usos on this one.
Fair enough, and just go ahead and say it. Who wins Shield versus the winner of this match?
With Shield versus Usos, I see the Shield retaining the belts. They're in a position right now where the belts are power to them right now, and they need all the power they can get, especially being a part of the corporation. They keep the belts. Shield retained over the Usos.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Shield retains over the primetime players, honestly, just because, yeah, they're on a power trip right now, and that's basically it. They're on the power trip with the corporation, so the corporation's gonna make sure they don't lose it.
Right.
So I'm going Shield.
I'm going off the board now because it's not officially listed, but it's kind of sort of where I think they're going, and we picked it on Sunday, so we'll pick it here before we get to what's officially been announced. So if the match doesn't happen, well, don't blame me, just blame the storytelling. U.S. title, Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose.
Get out of my head.
What?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
What, this match is actually happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's what I post on Sunday, so yeah, it's Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, and, you know, I found a nice warm spot in your head, so I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, what's your thinking?
I'm thinking Dean Ambrose retains. Whether it's through shenanigans or whether it's legit, it's Ambrose retains. Again, it's the same reason why the Rollins and Reigns retain. The belts are power right now, and the Shield are being built back up again into really this unstoppable force with the corporation. So whether Dean has to do it on his own or whether the corporation ensures that they keep their titles, that's up to them. Right. So, but yeah, I can. The Shield retains.
If this matchup happens, this will, if given the right amount of time, this could be match of the night.
Oh, easily. Easily.
Because you have the talent of Dean Ambrose and the talent of Dolph Ziggler, and you put them in the ring together, this could be a really, really good match if given the amount of time and focus on the card.
Right.
That being said, if the match happens, Dean Ambrose retains, but it's with, he might hook a tight or of some sort, and it won't be clean, rather. If he gets a win, it won't be a clean finish. He'll cheat and get the victory over Ziggler, leading to more of a chase for Ziggler against Dean Ambrose.
Right, and I'm okay with that because, you know, if we get more matches out of Ziggler and Ambrose, I'm totally cool with that.
I completely agree.
So moving on to a listed card on the match, we have the Fatal 4-Way between AJ Lee, Natalya, Brie Bella, and Naomi for the Divas Championship.
Many are predicting this will be the end of AJ Lee's title reign. That's what many are predicting. Many believe that this is the moment for the Total Divas, to get their shine on and get the focus. I really like where they're going with AJ. AJ Lee, this whole match basically came together when it started with a pipe bombshell by AJ Lee, where she ripped apart everyone in Total Divas from top to bottom, including the Bella Twins, how they suck up to certain superstars on the roster.
Yep, suck up, in quotations.
In quotations. Since then, you know, the Total Divas have bonded and band together to go after AJ Lee, and yeah, AJ Lee has continued to verbalize her frustrations with the Bella Twins and the rest of the Total Divas, whether it's been on commentary or in promos. She's been all for it. She even found some people to back her up on SmackDown a couple weeks ago, where they were able to attack the Total Divas, and as we saw the match on Raw from Monday. That whole long-winded speech aside, I'm not sure who to pick in this one.
I'm actually going to go with AJ Lee retaining.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm going with AJ Lee retaining is mainly I see this match either breaking down into where the Total Divas can't decide who gets it, basically, because it's going to come down to where it's like they're united, in quotations, but you still have the Bellas who are heel, technically, the Funkadactyls who are face, and Natty who is face. And so it's going to come down to, well, who decides that they want the title. Because Nikki will be at ringside, so Nikki will interfere. You've got Ava Marie at ringside. Ava Marie will interfere on behalf of the Bellas. You have JoJo out there. She may interfere on behalf of Naomi, because she's buddy-buddy with Naomi. And then you have Arion, Cameron out there, who will interfere on behalf of Naomi as well. So
Natty's all alone.
And that's the way it is on the show. Natty's all alone. So Natty doesn't necessarily have anybody to interfere for her. So, and I can also see AJ, you know, she's backed by the girls. You know, she's backed by Alicia Fox and Oksana and the other one.
Layla,
thank you. Sorry. And so I can see them getting involved as well. Basically, I can see this breaking down.
Right.
And lots of interference, and AJ either wins by DQ or she wins by sneaking one out.
In a four-way, you can't win by DQ.
Okay, fair enough. She wins by sneaking one out. Basically, she uses the distraction to potentially get the pin on...
on...
I'm going to say she gets a pin on Natty.
Okay. So... I started with it with what everyone's speculation is that they are doing this to basically put the shine on Total Divas. Well, as you know, we do a little podcast here called The Rack Extra Total Divas, where we review the Total Divas show. That ends Sunday. I know they're filming for the next season, but if you think about it, building to a one-on-one match and a title win would be a bigger deal than a victory in a four-way match. So at Night of Champions, AJ Lee retains for now, she'll hold on to the belt. How long she'll hold on to it afterwards, I'm not sure. But right now, AJ keeps the belt. Because that would also cause controversy, which is what Total Divas is all about.
Right, and it would give them something good for the filming, where basically it's you see the aftermath of that match, where it's kind of the breakdown, where they could kind of sort of do that whole blurred reality thing again, and sort of have a breakdown in relationships. Because also it's you have to look at it as, you know, there seems to be, just to kind of segue off a little bit, there seems to be a rift forming between JoJo and Ava Marie. What is that going to do to the Funkadactyls? What is that going to do to the Bellas? Mm-hmm. Because as we learned this week on Total Divas, Nikki, we saw how she hurt her shin, and she's got to be close to getting better.
Yeah, she's right on the road to recovery at this point.
They said 12 weeks on the show, and we're not entirely sure when that was, so... It was definitely before SummerSlam.
It was the tail end of June, so July, August, and September. She's getting close.
Yeah, she's getting close. So what will that do to the Bella Twins as well? So it's kind of interesting. So you're going AJ retains, I'm going AJ retains.
Yes, and you can listen to our recap of episode number 7, Total Divas, The Rack Extra, tomorrow right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
So, yeah. Go us. Shameless shills.
Shameless shills in a pick'em. Yeah. That's how we roll, yo.
We're getting all weird up in this weirdness.
Twice. Move on.
Moving on to, well, Omega, what will probably be Omega's favorite match.
Yes, it will be.
The world heavyweight champion Alberto Del Rio takes on Rob Van Dam, and in an interesting twist...
In a really interesting twist, this is where...
Spoiler alert!
...where we go. If it would click, come on.
Spoiler alert!
There you go.
Ricardo is banned from ringside. Which makes no damn sense, because the whole feud is built around Ricardo.
Yeah, this whole feud's been about the return of Ricardo and his allegiance with Rob Van Dam, and on SmackDown, with the spoiler, yeah, he's been, Vicky Guerrero has banned him from ringside for his safety, so it makes no sense at that point. That nonsense... notwithstanding, this is a tough one to call. It's really tough. Because on one hand, you want Rob Van Dam. I want Rob Van Dam to win. I think, you know, putting the belt on him, it'll get off of Del Rio, let him chase it for a little bit. But again, it's like, if you put it on Van Dam, he's not doing many house shows, but he's doing some. Is it worth putting it on RVD? For a predictable pay-per-view as this is, might turn out to be, changing the belt and putting it on Van Dam may be the way to go. I'm not sure. What's your thinking?
Honestly, Alberto Del Rio has run his course as champion. I'm sorry. They took away the only interesting part about Del Rio, which was Ricardo Rodriguez. He was kind of the reason why Alberto was over, was everybody wanted to see Ricardo, and now that they've split him off and put him with RVD, it's like, okay, you know, yay, Ricardo's with RVD, even though it doesn't quite make sense, but it's like, okay, you know, give it a chance. You know, they both seem to get along really well. But he, you know, he's run his course as champion. He's not over. People really aren't into him. They're not feeling him at all. So I can see them putting the belt on RVD because at this stage it's questionable of, as far as what they brought him back for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see them giving RVD a title run.
Yeah, I could see it too, and it would also could also start to tie into the corporation storyline because Dude, Triple H, and the Dude don't always get along.
Right, and that would just be another emphasis of the fact that, you know, RVD is not a corporate champion, whereas Del Rio would be. And so it's, plus one of the belts kind of has to change hands.
You would think.
You would think. So yeah, I can see RVD picking up the World Heavyweight Championship here.
Yeah, I'm going with Rob Van Dam.
And lastly, but certainly not, well, I was going to say not lastly, second to last, the match everyone is interested in, I should say, which is CM Punk versus Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman in a handicapped elimination match.
Okay, so if you haven't got this build at all, they've basically told you CM Punk will finally get his hands on Paul Heyman in this match. You have to buy it to see him get his hands on Paul Heyman. It's basically what they point to. It will happen. Which means, in the handicap elimination match, Curtis Axel will indeed get eliminated. Somehow, some way, whether it's pinfall, disqualification, somehow, he will get eliminated.
And then Paul Heyman's going to die.
Then Paul Heyman is going to die. You would think.
I can see Punk getting a couple shots in, but I can also see Paul Heyman getting away as well. Like, basically, Punk basically doesn't get to fulfill his promise of breaking Paul Heyman's face. You know, he beats Heyman up, but Heyman either gets away. I will say this much, I do not expect to see Brock Lesnar at this pay-per-view. I can see Axel interfering and trying to save Heyman, and that gives Heyman the up to get away. And then Heyman is gone, sadly, in disgrace after that, until they decide to bring Brock back.
So, what's your prediction?
Punk is going to win. Unless there are serious shenanigans in this match, i.e. Brock coming back, or another Paul Heyman person is introduced, I see shenanigans in this match, you know, or I see basically Punk winning, he eliminates Axel, he gets his hands on Paul Heyman gets beating, but Paul Heyman gets away, like he always does. And then Paul Heyman is gone.
The scenario in my head goes, Curtis Axel gets pinned. CM Punk gets Paul Heyman. There's a ref bump. Curtis Axel comes back in, lays out CM Punk. The referee comes to. Paul Heyman is on top of CM Punk for the 1, 2, 3. Paul Heyman wins.
So you think that's how it's going to go down?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Paul Heyman beats CM Punk. Prediction.
And the feud continues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not over. The feud's not over.
Oh, I know the feud's not over.
So, Paul Heyman wins, which he could then hold over CM Punk.
I can see it. I could totally see it. But I can also see, you know, Paul Heyman running away and losing my count out, too.
I could see that, too. But that's, you know.
Yeah, there will be shenanigans in this match.
There will be shenanigans, yeah.
All day long and twice on Sunday, there will be shenanigans in this match.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of shenanigans, last but certainly not least, the face of the WWE, the man that is good for business, in quotations, Randy Orton takes on Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship in a rematch from SummerSlam.
It's not a rematch from SummerSlam.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of, technically.
Bryan cashed in his rematch clause. It's a rematch.
Yeah, well, they really didn't have a match. It was more of, oh, hey, pedigree.
Hey, you know what? The bell got rung. Even though it was a short match, it still got rung. So technically, it was a match, so therefore it is a rematch.
Alright, that's why I said technically.
Don't argue with my logic.
I will argue with your logic. I will. Trust me. I will get up on all of that logic, okay?
I'm sure you will.
I totally will. So, it's the rematch, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. It should be really good. If you watch television, it leads you to believe Randy Orton wins. I'm leaning towards Randy Orton wins. But my scenario goes like this. Daniel Bryan wins first. He has the yes lock locked in and doesn't let the hold go and gets disqualified, causing the referee to reverse his decision. Therefore, Randy Orton retains the title.
Interesting.
So officially, Randy Orton wins by disqualification.
I can see that.
What's your thinking?
I'm thinking Randy Orton. I'm actually thinking, even I'm forgetting how many matches I've called shenanigans in at this stage, but
17.
Yeah, all 17 of them. I'm thinking there's going to be shenanigans in this one as well, just with the way that the corporation functions and the fact that I'm sure the Shield will be out there at some point to assist Randy. And so I'm thinking Daniel wins, but he wins by DQ, and he does not win the title.
So basically, you have the Shield getting involved and, you know, helping out.
I can see that, or I can see Daniel Bryan winning, and he wins the title. This is a completely out there scenario that honestly just popped in my head 5 seconds ago. But I can see Daniel Bryan winning. He wins the match, he wins the title, he has that moment again, and Hunter's like, oh, no, 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 you know, that move was banned. You're not allowed to do that move. Or you're not allowed to do that. You know, restart the match. Or, you know, it's like, and as he's, you know, it's like, well, and, you know, the Shield come out, they beat the crap out of Bryan, and then Hunter goes, restart the match.
Right.
And
Randy Orton wins.
Randy Orton pins Daniel Bryan.
I could see that. I could see the scenario. Okay, Daniel Bryan gets his moment. Daniel Bryan gets his moment. Shield comes out intact, and you know, Triple H comes out, storms out, is all angry, and says, Randy Orton's cashing in this rematch clause right now. Ring the bell. Brian staggers up, RKO 1-2-3. To play off that scenario.
Right, I can see that happening as well, but I see, honestly, Daniel, he gets the win, but he doesn't get the title.
That's what I'm saying. You had him getting the win, he gets the title, you know, redo the match again. That's all.
Right, but for the first scenario.
Yeah, you're going with a scenario where he doesn't win, he's not officially champion.
No, he wins the match, because he's got to get a win, mm-hmm. just to help to continue it on, so he's got to get that win. But I don't see him getting the title because they're still in the process of building the corporation and they're just too strong right now and they really have too much power to really be stopped at this stage. So they're not going to let Brian get his hands on that title.
Right.
And there's also the question of will Big Show get involved? Will Big Show stand for Brian or will Big Show be forced to work for the corporation? And there we don't know also, you know, I think Cody is off TV indefinitely right now mm-hmm. because he hasn't gotten married yet. So Cody's not a factor, but will the Rhodes family be a factor?
Right.
So there's a lot of things to consider and to take into account. But yeah, Brian gets the win, but does not get the title.
So there you go. Those are our Night of Champions predictions. Send them to media at wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio network, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. There'll be a post in the Facebook group as well, so post there. We'll take your picks. Sunday by 5 Eastern. And, yeah, join us for WTRS tonight. We'll tell you who wins bragging rights. Not the pay-per-view, just actual bragging rights. We can give you Tim's car if you really want it, but, you know, it's Tim's car.
Yeah, you don't want it, trust me.
I don't know if it's a prize or anything.
So on that note, let's move on to our question of the night.
Our question of the night goes as follows. What is your favorite Jim Ross moment? We got a couple submissions. Jim Ross smashes candy jar on Taz's head at SummerSlam 2000. Someone just goes, Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! We have another one. That man's got a family! This is a war where there will be casualties, was another one. Those are some famous quotes from good old J.R. As some people's favorite moments. What's your favorite moment?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Obviously, the one that stands out in my memory, and I think it's just burned into every wrestling fan's memory, is the good God he's broken in half when Taker tossed Foley off the cell. That was just a tremendous moment that's just etched through time. I mean, you want to talk about immortality, there it is right there. As far as the other one, I'm actually going to say really any time JR took one for the team, whether it's him getting set on fire, him getting his ass shoved in Vince McMahon's face, or I'm sorry, his face getting shoved in Vince McMahon's ass, let's get that right. You know, basically any time that they try to publicly embarrass him, just the way that he carried himself through that and had the dignity afterwards, mm-hmm. and just the respect of the industry was always tremendous. I mean, that's something I've always admired about JR, is just how he carries himself.
Right.
You know, and he's such a classy individual, you know, when it comes to business and how he handles himself and carries himself. So that's probably my favorite moment. That, whenever he got in the ring, because that was always hilarious.
Yeah, him getting in the ring was always good.
What about you?
Heel JR. I always liked heel JR. I go back to 1996 when he was going heel and he was, you know, talking about how the company did him wrong after Bell's palsy and what have you. And he came back and he brought out the real Razor Ramon and Diesel. And after they left, he was the guy who brought them back. I thought that was always fun. I always enjoyed heel JR because it was something different. Him with Dr. Death, it was interesting. They put a nice twist on his character because of his health. So, yeah, I go with heel JR because, you know, you got Stone Cold, and all his famous quotes, and, you know, good God Almighty, he's broken in half. But yeah, I'm going with my favorite moment is heel JR, just because it's different and it's something people don't actually talk about often.
Yeah, that's something I actually never got to see. I'll have to go back and watch that on YouTube. But yeah, I can see that. And it's something of... JR, I think, will be forever etched, at least in our generation and generation before us and the generation after us, you know, minds, because of just all the famous quotes that he has and just the memories he's created.
He was one of the greatest storytellers to ever be on television. He added so much to, you know, so many matches. He helped out so many matches, told great stories. And his, you know, he will be the legendary voice of WWE no matter how many times they fired him. He always came back. He did his job. And as many times as they want Michael Cole to be the voice, JR will always be the voice of the modern era. The attitude era, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to Michael Cole, but as far as JR is concerned, he is the voice of the WWE, at least for our generation and the generation before us, and possibly the one after us, because he's a part of those historic moments. And even after he left and he came back, it was, if you need a story told, if you need a match properly called, you bring in JR. Mm-hmm. And you have JR there. It's like, I forget, I think it was Shawn and Taker the second time.
Mm-hmm. No, the first time, because I don't think he called the second time.
No, I don't think he called the second time that JR was there for that. And then I don't think he was there for the second time. I don't think he was there for Triple H and Hunter the... Good God, I can't talk.
Triple H.
Hunter and Taker, the first one.
Yeah.
But he was there for the Hell in the Cell. Mm-hmm. And it's like that moment. You know, you go back and you listen to that match, and you just listen to the commentary. You don't even watch that match. And you go back to and you just watch some of those legendary matches with JR. And you don't watch him, you just listen to him talk. And the way that he tells the story of the match, and he just helps with the psychology and everything, is really cool.
It really, really is. And, you know, it's a shame JR is gone, Lindsay.
It's a shame JR is gone from WWE, just because he was working a lot with developmental, and he was helping to bring up that next generation of announcers and commentators. And it was something of... You know, again, no offense to Michael Cole, he's fine, but he doesn't have the storytelling ability that JR does.
No, he doesn't. It's a shame he's gone, and it's a shame he won't get the chance to live out a call for Kane Kins where, you know, he could go, Christian Zwong, by God, Christian Zwong.
He did that just because you know he's going to listen to the archive.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You're such a jerk.
You're welcome.
You're going to get a screw you come Saturday.
No, because I know he's in the chat room right now because he just popped in. That's why I did it.
Oh. Oh.
Hi.
Hi, King Kittens.
Hi, 952258.
AKA King Kittens. And I'm Whistlemans. If anyone was to call Taker's last match, it should be JR. I absolutely agree. It should be JR. And hopefully he's there. Hopefully they push hard enough to get him brought back. Hey, you know what? I was defending you, okay? I was defending you. So don't you be hating on me. He's the one that said it. Oh, come on. I totally don't endorse you wanting Christian Zwong. I totally don't. Which you can hear him gab all about Saturday nights when we play Cards Against Humanity.
Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
But let me ask you this, since we're wrapping up and... just it's popping into my head because, you know, I'm obsessed with them. Do we think the Wyatts are going to play a factor?
In what? Oh, well, at Night of Champions?
Yeah.
No. I don't, we won't get any. we won't get any Wyatt involvement this Sunday. Sorry.
But I need Bray.
I know you need your Bray and your sheep mask. It just won't happen.
No, I don't need the sheep mask. I just need Bray. Like, I need Bray Wyatt to come read me bedtime stories, because that would be amazing.
Yeah, okay, so, if you didn't see it on the Facebook page, I put out one that's called The Cat, The Cat in the Hat was told by Bray Wyatt.
By the way, next week's question of the night, just thought of it. If you could have Bray Wyatt read you a bedtime story, what would it be? Think about it.
That's your goal for next week.
That's your goal for next week.
Mm-hmm. You've now been given homework.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, there you go.
So, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
By God, we'll wrap this one up.
He's got a family! This is a slobber knocker! He's getting beaten like a government mule!
And Kane Kins will get beaten by a government mule as we play Cards Against Humanity on Saturday night. But anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll talk all about Night of Champions, the weird stories of the week. Will Subway be getting back into the ring? We'll talk all about that and more Saturday night, midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sunday night, it's WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Radio, live at 11 p.m. Eastern, joint Tipside, Mason Omega, as they break down everything that happens at WWE Night of Champions. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap Monday night Raw for you, and we'll be back Thursday night right here for the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Total Divas podcast, the Rack Extra, episode number 7 review tomorrow right here on RackRadio.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Check out WTRProductions.net and buy tickets right now for Canadian All Pro presents War.
War. That's it. It's just war.
War, because you're going to get a steel cage, so it's going to be war.
Okay. All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. Check that out. You can go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And if you're in the southeast area, especially near Oak Grove, Louisiana, coming up, it's just a few days away, there's still tickets available for the Southern Wrestling Superstars show hosted by Cassidy Riley. You can get your tickets by calling 318-737-6481. It's going to be at the Thomas J. Lingo Center. So please, if you're in that area, you want to go see some awesome wrestling, check that out. Go buy tickets. Please support his show. I believe it's going to be on iPay-per-view. So, yeah. Here's to, you know, hoping it goes well. Best of luck to Cassidy and all the guys and girls down there. So, last show was successful, so best of luck to them. So, like I said, go buy tickets and stuff.
And I forgot to mention, you can find us on Tumblr, wildtalkradio.tumblr.com.
Yeah, by the way, King Kittens, I tortured him last night with setting up a Tumblr.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got you some redemption by making him sign up for Tumblr.
Oh, she got rants about Tumblr. Oh, my God.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Things we do during show prep.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Yeah. You know, basically the 10 minutes that it takes us to prep the show, and then the 2 hours afterwards that we just completely BS and basically do the entire show before we do the show.
Pretty much.
As you can tell when we have discussions.
No. 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 WildTalkRadio.tumblr.com.
Yeah, no. We're not going to that Tumblr. Not again. No. I need therapy after going to that Tumblr. So anyway, is that everything? Are we good?
No, plug your Behance and all that stuff.
go to my website, psychwarsdesigns.com. You can check out my DeviantArt and my Behance. I've got a new piece up on my Behance.net profile. It is a take on Alphonse Mucha's The Moon, so check that out. I worked very hard on it, so I'd appreciate it if people go look at it. Better?
Better.
Okay. So, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up for the evening. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Please go visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and, of course, Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. And for them, for Rock, for myself, we'll see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com